what's going on. I've been trying to figure some things out lately. And it's because I'm believing it's because that we don't understand what the Bible is truly saying. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on. That picture's not supposed to be up yet, so y'all hang on a minute. I'll get there in a minute. But we don't understand things, and sometimes we can get frustrated over things, and we lose it, and it's because the words that we are hearing every day, they no longer mean the same thing as they used to mean. Or I guess I really can't say that because, you know, for in the very beginning, Satan attacked Eve and said, "Did God say?" So they used the words to confuse people. But I do believe that sometimes in our lives that we have allowed the words that we hear and the words that we say, they're becoming watered down. They're becoming not so important. Watch what I'm fixing to give you a list of words. And while I'm saying these words, you think about what they truly mean and what they kind of tend to mean today. The first one is like if you have a cell phone and you have something called unlimited service. How many of you know it's not unlimited? They say unlimited, but it's not unlimited. You only got so many you can use. And then they start charging you an extra fee. But it's not unlimited. But we think, wow, the word unlimited, it's watered down. Word maximum, the most. The word commitment, boy, do we ever water that one down. We have, listen, people are not committed to hardly anything anymore. Free, when somebody says it's free, how many of you know they are lying to you? That's just to get you in the front door. But if you give us your credit card, then next month we'll start charging you for this. You get the first month free or free. It's not free. How many of you know the word yes don't mean what it used to? The word no don't mean what it used to. Here we go. This is the most important one for us this morning to realize. The word love. Oh, my goodness. We throw that around so much so. Love. Love. Do we love our brothers? Do we love our sisters? Do we love our enemies? Uh-oh. Do we love our spouses? Do we love like God tells us to love? Or do we just have a convenient relationship until it's inconvenient? And then it's no longer love. I'm falling out of love because now it's inconvenient because I don't like what they're doing. How many of you know the Lord is speaking to our hearts about changing? Say change. He wants us to change some things. Watch what it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37. It says, "But let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one." Do you realize that Satan's trying his hardest to water down our Christianity, to try to make us feel like, well, you know, it's okay. Well, you know, when we read our Bible, that's what I'm saying this morning. And this is the point I'm going to try to make this morning. I hope I can do a fair job at it. But sometimes we read our Bibles and it doesn't mean what it truly means to us. But how many of you know, as we grow closer to God, as we get closer to God, then the revelation starts coming. The word starts becoming more and more clear. We start understanding, wow, when God says unlimited, it's truly unlimited. How many of you know we have truly unlimited access to the throne of God each and every day of our life? Uh-oh. You see what I'm talking about, watered down now? Because when we hear God saying, wait a minute, I'm always there for you, does it always mean always? Or does it just mean when it's convenient for him? No, it means always. Always. He's there. It's not just when it's convenient. It's not just when it's like, well, I wait till I get to church to ask the preacher to pray for me or the elders. And I understand that we are supposed to, when we get sick, call for the elders of the church. That's understandable. But I'm saying we don't have to wait. Do we realize that we have access to the throne of God each and every day, every 24/7? We can cry out, Abba, Father. We can say, Jesus, my own heavenly Father. I can cry out to him each and every day. And I can have access And when, say when we're paying attention, when we are, you know, in the process of taking communion this morning, this is the point, is we come together and we commune together. And just like that, we are to commune with our Lord Jesus Christ daily, not just on Sunday or on Wednesday or whenever the prayer group meets or whenever. No, every day we can come and cry out, "Oh my God, I thank you so much for what you've done for me." We give him thanks and glory. Understanding that words are watered down these days, and I'm here to, again, I wrote this down these days as if it's a fresh thing, but then I started thinking. You ever stop and think? I started thinking, just like Eve was told, did God say? Many a times in our lives, we're hearing the devil, we're hearing the enemy telling us, did God truly tell you he loved you? Did he truly say you're saved? Are you truly saved by the blood of the Lamb? Are you forgiven? Well, you know, the word says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we are saved. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you that when you do that, you confess with your mouth and believe. Say believe. You see, there it comes. We do have to believe. The Bible says this, watch this, in Matthew chapter 12 and 36. But I say unto you that for every idle word, did it say every? It said every idle word that man speaks. Man, have we said a lot of things? Never mind. For there is given to us on account, a day of accountability, a day of judgment. For by, say my words. You see, it says, by your words you will be judged. What? I thought I was, yeah. And by your words you will be condemned. Now, I'm not here to put a heavy trip on you to say, ooh, 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 ooh. No, what I'm trying to say is pay attention to what the words are that are coming out of our mouths. That we need to learn how to speak a little slower and think a little more before we open our mouth. Amen? Sometimes we say things that we wished we would not have. Anybody say amen to that, huh? We have to be careful of the things that we're talking about when we're not at church, when we're at work, or when we're with our spouse. We got to be careful. What? You know, this is amazing to me. I've learned this over the years by stepping. Anybody? I always called it stepping in a hole and breaking your leg when you talk to your wife incorrectly. You know, it's like I always use the analogy of, boy, I just stepped in that hole and broke my leg. But sometimes spouses, you think that we would have enough care and love for our spouses more than strangers, but sometimes we say things to each other that we would never say to a stranger. We attack each other sometimes hotter than we would one of our enemies. Well, they should understand. I'm here to tell you that, you know what? Although when we were kids, we sung these songs, this little phrase that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Anybody ever said that? Well, I don't know about you, but as I got older, I realized that that was not a true statement. Because there was a lot of words that were spoken to me that broke my heart. Anybody? There's a lot of times people said things that I was like, wow, I can't believe they said that to me. You? Anybody? Words can hurt. Words do hurt. So I'm just saying, we got to learn. We, say we. You see, because we like to point at somebody else. So yeah, they need to learn that. Well, we all need to learn how to communicate with a much more compassionate heart. You know, the word says to do unto others as we want them to do to us, right? So imagine if we'd start learning to talk to others how we want them to talk to us. Huh? Amen? Or oh me? James chapter 1 and 19 says, so then my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. What? Swift to hear. That means shut up every now and then. Swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. You know, sometimes we lose it. Anybody, don't raise your hand here, okay? Anybody ever just lose it and you go off? For the wrath of man, it does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, when we lose it, how many of you know people are watching? And they always catch you when you lost it, don't they? When you're in church, hallelujah, Jesus, I love you. Oh, God, they never say nothing about that. But, boy, you go out there on the street and run the red light or somebody pull out in front of you, you lost it, they're going to catch you. You know, we put that little label on the back of my truck. It says Word of Faith Christian Fellowship. I offered about 3 people to put it on their truck, and they said, I ain't putting it on my truck. Man, I'll be accountable. People will know, I don't want to be. Nah. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. This is so cool. 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, I'm going to pause right there just for a minute. Those of y'all that's in the pneumatology class know what I'm saying right there when I talk about the tongue of angels. What? Though I speak with the tongue of angels? I ain't going to get too deep into that. Don't worry about it. Don't fear. But have not love, it become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Huh? Anybody ever hear somebody that just making noise? They're just talking and they're talking and they're talking and you're like, would they shut up? They're just making noise. They just talk so much that you're like, come on. And that's what I'm trying to get across to us this morning. Sometimes we need to learn what not to say. Have you ever realized that there's plenty of times we say things and we say, I shouldn't have said that? What not to say? And though I have the gift of prophecy, man, I go to my church and I sit up and I prophesy, thus saith the Lord. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and the knowledge, though I have faith to walk on water, though I have faith that I could move mountains, though I have faith that I could move mountains, but have not love. I am nothing. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks that are running around saying, look what I did for you, Lord. And the Lord says, I never knew you. You see, because he's not looking for us to run around and make a big noise and make it sound good. He's looking for people that'll truly love one another, that'll love and endure and push through all of the stuff. Love suffers long. Oh, I skipped one, sorry. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Man, I gave all my money last week to that fella out there on the street, and I saw him, he looked hungry. I bought him a hamburger, I got him a drink, and I gave him $20. Oh, boy, ain't I good? I gave all my money to feed the poor, but I don't love him. Huh? I don't love my neighbor. I don't love my wife. I don't love my kids because they're aggravating me. Do not have love. I am nothing. It profits me nothing. The word tells us to build our treasure where? In heaven, not on earth, where rust and moth destroy. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, nor is it puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. I'm going to pause there for a minute. You ever notice that people, that they, when you mess up, they, oh, I knew it. I just knew he was going to mess up. I knew he couldn't keep going to church. He was no good from the beginning. Rejoices in iniquity. What? Don't rejoice in other people's problems. Don't rejoice. But this is what it says. Rejoice in the truth. It bears all things. In other words, you know what? If you're going through some trouble and you got some friends that are going through troubles, you got to help bear their burden. We need to learn how to reach out and lift them up and give them a hand and say, come on, brother, you can do this. How many of you glad when you come to church and you hear, come on, we can do this. We can push through. We can step up a step. We don't have to stay down in the pit. We can step up and realize that God's in control. He's got his hand out. He's called. Oh, my goodness. Have you heard his call? Have you heard your name lately called by the Lord God Almighty? Have you heard him say, hey, Bill, hey, Zach, hey, Bubba, hey, have you heard God's calling your name? Because he is. He's calling your name each and every day, each and every hour. God's calling you, saying, pay attention. The world is changing. Things are different than they were. How many of you can say amen? You know things are different. You know things are getting wild and crazy and unbelievable. You see things on TV and you're like, oh my. Oh my goodness. There's all kind of stuff going on. Take some time and turn the thing off. You turn it on in 30 minutes, you're going to hear the story, same story again. Take a 30-minute break from it every now and then. Just turn it off. And take that time and say, Lord, today I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. Today, Lord, I'm not going to spend 3 hours watching the news. I'm not even going to spend a half hour watching the news today, Lord. Today, Lord, I want to give you glory and honor and praise. Just take your praise break, give him glory, and watch how much better you feel. You won't be confused. You won't be frustrated. God will bring clarity. He'll bring insight. He'll bring revelation to our eyes and to our ears that we will see and hear. Because he's calling and he's saying, come on, walk this way. And sometimes we just don't walk the right way because we're listening to the world. We're listening to what's going on all around us. And we're, oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so bad. We're going to go to war. How many of you know there have been wars and wars and wars and wars and wars and wars? And I don't know how many, because I've never really sat down and ever counted how many wars that's actually happened. And you're thinking, but I don't want to go to war. That's okay. Don't worry about it. How many of you know who's in control? It is not the president. I mean, some of y'all just went, oh, really? Thank God. Thank you. That's the right person to thank, huh? There's two things I always thank the Lord for. One, I'm not in control. And number two, you're not in control. Thank you, Jesus, that he's in control. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen. Oh, you're worried and you're fearful and you're doubting and you're struggling. It's because of the words that we hear. Oh, my. What are we going to do? I don't know about you, but I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to go to the grocery. I'm going to buy a food. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to have a good night's sleep tonight because I ain't worried about it. Amen? How many of you know who's in control? You see, you get fearful and you get confused and you get frustrated and you get doubtful because the enemy, say the enemy, we can say Beelzebub, we can say the devil, we can say the liar. How many of you know he lies? The truth ain't in him is what the Bible says. And he's trying his hardest to corrupt your vision, your mind, your understanding of what's truly going on. Yeah, there's a lot of people lost and confused. That's why you're saved. What? That's exactly why God talked to you and called you so that you, say me, we'll have the word of God to speak to our friends and neighbors and enemies. What? Even them? Yes, even them. Even those folks you don't like, especially them. You see, because the people we don't like, we got a problem with, and so we have a problem. You see, it's about learning to love. Say love. Love everybody. Love. Love covers. This is what the word says. Love covers a multitude of sin. What? Yes, it does. You're getting so caught up in war. Well, you know, if that, we need more Christians in the presidency. We need more Christians in the White House. We need more Christians praying for them. Amen? We need more Christians saying, Lord, I need to pray for my president. I need to pray for my congressman. I need to pray for our people that are in authority. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Don't get by. Well, they dirty, no good. They all a bunch of criminals there. They should all be burned there. Don't get caught up in all of that worldly thought and mentality. It's a crazy times we're living in. Crazy, crazy times. There's things that you thought you'd never be seeing on TVs on TV. Oh my, love suffers long. Love, watch this, it never fails. Verse 8. But where there are prophecies, they'll fail. You see, because sometimes people get so caught up in the living life that they forget that God's in control.
they'll fail. Things will, that where their tongues, they'll cease. Well, you know, I used to speak in tongues. I used to go to church. I used to really get into that Holy Ghost stuff. I don't know what happened. I just kind of got confused. I walked away from it. I just kind of got busy with life. I got so many things going on. Oh, my goodness, I don't know what I need to do.
Say it again. Get back in the Word of God. Allow the Lord to redeem you again. Allow, know that He is a Savior. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Repent. Say repent. Look at your neighbor. Say repent. No, you got to get it like, you got to get serious about it. Say repent. Oh, y'all got too serious about that. Somebody like that. You see, but did you hear the one that came to you? Repent and get back to where God has control. Because how many of you know we can get distracted? We can get caught up in life. Hey, Noel, where you at? Work on the thermostat, turn it down a little bit. I see people getting frozen. We got new thermostats. I could take just a minute and turn it off here, but I don't want to take that much time. We got new thermostats, hallelujah. I can turn them on right here and turn them off. But Carol told me not to because I might distract you. So I'm just going to tell Noel to do it. Suffer is long. God wants us to know that where there's all kind of knowledge of who God is and what He's doing in your life, it'll vanish away because we get caught up and distracted. Anybody got distracted? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand if you ever got distracted. You kind of walked away from God. You kind of just said, you know, God, I know I love you. I know you're there and I know you love me. But you know what? I just kind of got busy. I got my new cell phone. I've been working on it for months now, trying to figure it out. And my smartphone makes me feel dumb. Watch what the scripture says. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't understand the whole thing. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, how many of you know Jesus came? Oh my goodness, He's here today. He's here with you. That which is came, then I'll know. Then which is part will be done away with, the scripture says. For now we see as in a mirror dimly. Anybody ever see life just kind of dimly? You're just kind of getting just distracted, just getting caught up and not finding out exactly what God has in store for you, but we keep asking the devil what he wants me to do, and then we find ourselves doing it, and then we find ourselves, uh-oh, why'd I do that? Well, the Bible tells us that, but then, we see in a mirror, but then, say then, face to face, I know in part, but then, say then, I shall know. See, before, well, you know, the script, you know, we just sang Amazing Grace and it says, once I was lost. Oh, my goodness. Aren't you glad you got found? Once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, don't you just love it when the Lord just speaks to your heart in the midst of the worship and the praise? Oh, once I was lost. Man, when I sung that, I just had a flashback of who I used to be. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I thank you, Jesus, for what you brought me through, because he brought me through it. And he says, now I'm found. And now, say now, I see. Oh, come on. When we in the presence of the Most High God, all of a sudden, all of the stuff melts away. All of the cares, all of the worries. There's only one thing that's going through your mind. Woe is me, for I'm undone. And now I need to get my life straightened up. You know what? Whenever the Lord touches our hearts, I can always tell when God's absolutely working on somebody, because they don't come and tell me what Bill's been doing. They don't come and tell me what Bob's doing. You know what they're saying? Well, Pastor, I need to get my life right. I need to get my life right. They're no longer worried about Billy, Bob, Joe, and Sam. They're just worried about, you know what? I am undone. Because when you're in the presence of God and you lift Him up in your life, guess what? He shines the light in our life and He shines the light in all of those dark crevices and corners. And He starts saying, look at this. And you can't help but say, oh my goodness, look what I've done. I need to get this cleaned up. I need to work on this. Have you ever come to the conclusion in your life that there's things that we need to stop? There's things that we need to clean up. And what do you think that is but the Holy Spirit shining a bright light on us? You see, I'm just going to give you a clue here. Watch this. Listen carefully. If you start and you start thinking or looking at or pointing at other people, realize that you're walking away. You walked away from God, because in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is, oh my goodness. You know what? And then what happens, this is what happens. When people start seeing the joy of the Lord that you've got, they start seeing the happiness, the contentment that's in your life. You know what you've done? You've planted seeds in their life. And they say, you know what? I don't know what it is you got there, but you know what? I want some of that. I want some of that. Because I don't have that, and I want that. Have you ever seen somebody that loves Jesus, and they don't care about anything? They're just living their life, and they're doing the best they can, and they're not getting caught up in the wood. And you can just see the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You can see the joy of the Lord in their heart. You can see that they're walking. Oh, are they making mistakes? Absolutely. Say, yes, they are. You know they are. We are. Say, we are. We are all making mistakes along our journey. Yes, I am. You know, Paul said, I am the chief sinner. You know, and it's like, you know what? That's what we got to do, is realize that God's bringing us to be a light in a dark place. We're to shine our lights bright. We're to walk with confidence. Say confidence. That Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That He saved me up out of the grave. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. But listen, this is what verse 11 says. Then when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, there comes a place in our life where we realize that it's time to grow up. It's time to quit playing around. You know what? Especially anybody that's over 50, you know, they're realizing that time is getting shorter. When you're over 60, you're like, oh my goodness. When you're over 70s, you're thinking, help. And when you're 80, you're hoping that your bags are packed and you're ready to go. God's reaching in. You know, time is short. Have you ever considered how short time is? Anybody over 50 in here? You'd realize how short time is. All of a sudden, you look back over the span of your life, and it seemed like just yesterday you were running around playing hide and seek. You remember playing hide and seek in the woods and running up and down the road, and everything was wonderful and great, and school lasted forever. 1 year lasted forever. Now it's like it's Christmas again. Didn't we just take the tree out? It's amazing. I just remember last week, you know, Bob and Mary had me and Zach put their tree up in the attic. You remember that, Zach? That was last week. This week she asked me to take it back out. 2 weeks ago? Okay. He's not that old yet. So 2 weeks for him. That's it. What does words mean to us? Do we realize the importance? The importance. If you're from Chalmette, it's importance. The importance of life. Do you realize the importance of words that we are saying? Do we realize how important are they to us? Now watch this. How important are the words that come out of our mouth to other people? They're listening. Isn't it amazing that you could say something 10 years ago and somebody else will come back and say, you said this 10 years ago. And you went, really? I don't remember it at all. It's gone. I can't remember this morning. Bob can't remember how he got here. But the idea is that God is wanting us to realize that life is so short and it's so precious, and that we need to learn how to communicate with a sincerity and the importance of our words, that when we talk to people, we realize that God is in control. Amen? When we don't follow the world standard. Though, how many of you know that the world sets a standard and a lot of people are following it? A lot of people are just falling in line. Have you ever been to Disney World? Anybody ever been to Disney World? And you go on a ride there, and you get the herd mentality. You're like, you're following the line. You don't get out your line because, you know, no matter which line you get in, that one's going to move faster, right? So you just stay in your line. And when you get in the little cart thing, they say, okay, move in, shove in, get all the way over, push out. Don't raise your hand. Don't move. So you get all the way in and you shove in and you hold your breath. Hopefully everybody bathed that night. And because you're up close and personal right there, I mean to tell you. And you know what? But it's important because, you know what? We gotta realize that God didn't call us to just follow the crowd. He called us to be individuals. He called Louis Brady to be a mighty man of God. He called Bill Finley to be a mighty man of God. He called Mary Barrett to be a mighty woman of God. He called you to be a mighty, say mighty, a mighty person of God, that you'll live your life as an example. You'll live your life to run with endurance the race that was set before you. You're not called to run my race. I say that often. Don't run my race. Run your race. Don't get caught up and confused and frustrated because of life. Because life happens. How many of you realize that life happens to all of us? It happens to all of us. We all go through some major illnesses in our life. Major problems. Major. Or maybe we could just realize that the major thing is Jesus Christ and everything else becomes minor. You see? Because he knows what's going to happen. You know what? I mean, it's a shame. And I don't mean this negatively, so don't, you know, think, oh, he can. You. I'm not prophesying this. I'm not saying this is what. But you know what? Somebody today is going to have an accident on the highway and probably die. Hopefully and prayerfully, it's nobody here. But my question is, are you ready? My question is, were they ready? My goodness, do we realize how precious? Are we wasting our time? Are we wasting our days? Are we just realizing that, you know, I mean, I know, like I said earlier, about everybody that's over 40 or so, you know, 50, 60, depending on where you fall in that line, things are getting more serious. You're realizing that time is getting shorter. Well, God's got you, and he knows what's going on. Don't get caught up in the following the world system. Don't get caught. Don't allow. Don't allow the devil to manipulate you, to bring you to a place of frustration, complaining, whining, fussing. Ooh, dang, everything's terrible. If I just could go get drunk, everything would be all right. Yeah, that's the beginning of your problems. Oh, if I could just get me some more drugs, everything would be all right. More problems. Oh, if I could just get a man, or if I could just get a woman, that's even more problems. Ball and chain, some of us think about it. I won't tell you that Jonathan said that about Sherry. That never happened. Of course, he was under the influence of drugs. He was going in for surgery, so we forgave him. Never live it down. I told you that day, you're going to pay for that one. John chapter 14. Let me get back to the scripture here. John chapter 14 and 6 before he gets in a lot of trouble. John chapter 14 and 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way. Say way. Way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch what it says. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, why did I use that scripture right now and right in this process of telling you about all of these words? Because I'm hearing this more and more, and it's more becoming a worldly systems belief. Oh, they believe that every religion's okay. It's okay. You know, they all got, you know, they got their God, but it's the same one. That's a lie. That's not truth. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
You know what? I mean, I if they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, then that's fine. We're good. But if they don't, if they call him Muhammad and Buddha and all of these different crazy religions that they got out there, man, we could start a new one today if you wanted. But I'm here to tell you that there's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells us what truth is. It's been around. It's proven itself. That's why sometimes I get a kick out of watching people try to prove Jesus to somebody. Well, you got to do it. I ain't got to prove Jesus to nobody. You know why? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes. The Bible says this, that every knee, say every knee. That means every knee. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Do you know that the Bible says it? Oh, my goodness. It's time for us to quit allowing the devil. Say the devil. Say Beelzebub. Can you handle that one? The devil is a liar and he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to rip your life apart. Trying to take away everything. I got one more scripture and I'm done. John chapter 8 and 31 says this, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If, say if. I got to go back and always tell people, read your Bible, because it says if, say if. If you abide. Abide means to comply with, obey, observe, to follow. If we abide in the word of truth, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, he will lead, guide, and direct your path. He'll give you understanding. He'll bring clarity to those words that when in the process of learning life, that we won't get confused. We'll learn that the word unlimited is not definitioned by the AT&T people, but it is unlimited source of power, unlimited access to the throne of God. Any tick of the talk, anywhere you are, you can cry out and say, Jesus, I need some help. I need some help right now. And he hears your cry. And he'll bring you to some place of clarity. He'll bring you to a place of understanding. Now, listen to me very clearly, because this is where a lot of people miss the mark. I've been talking to Jesus for a long time. He never did nothing for me yet. You're not talking to my Jesus. You're talking to somebody else. You see, because the thing too is like, I'm not asking Jesus to get me a new car or a motorbike or a boat or a house or a spouse or a whatever. What I'm asking him for is to help me see clearer. Help me hear his word, because his word is truth. And when we hear and see Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing, nothing, nothing compares to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Please stand on your feet. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we ask you to bring clarity and understanding, Lord, that we would run, O God, that we will listen and hear your voice, O God, each and every day. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for the body of Christ that comes together. Lord, we ask you to bless them and encourage them right now, Lord. Let them run, O God. The rest of this week, Lord, bring health to their bodies. Lord, bring vision to their insight and minds. Bless them, Lord. Bring healing to family members that are in need, O God. Bless their homes, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bring the word of God alive in their house. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Hope to see you next week.